Hey everyone, I announced this in the last episode, but in case you didn't catch it, this will be my last Focus Forward episode. I thought we could dive a little into the experience of doing a podcast and share some of what we've learned. First, I want to take a moment to reflect on what I've come to understand after hosting this show for the past 4 years and what I hope you carry with you from Focus Forward. Then I'll share a recording of a conversation that Sean Potts, our editor and producer, and I had talking about the show and what it was like to build it from the ground up. But first, since we created this show to help others learn, I want to share what I've learned that I hope you have too. I've mentioned this before in other conversations, but it's a lesson that has stayed with me. Remember that it's not too late. It's never too late, even if it feels like it is. It's not too late to build new skills. It's not too late to understand yourself better. It's not too late to ask for help or make changes that genuinely improve your life. It's not too late to reach out to others. It's not too late to ask why. It's not too late to take a healthy risk and see what happens on the other side. These healthy risks require a lot of vulnerability and open-mindedness. And as we've learned over the years, one of the best ways to do this is to lean on our executive function skills. Through conversations with parents and teens, adults, educators, clinicians, and my fellow EF coaches, what became so clear is that executive function skills support us across the entire lifespan in every aspect of our lives. And this is why it's worth the effort to improve them, to learn about them, to learn about ourselves, to figure out which executive function skills challenge us and which ones are our lifelines. That leads to the second thing I want to share. I've learned that knowledge really is power. Dr. Jan Willer was the first person to say that on this show, and it became a theme throughout so many episodes. Awareness really does matter. When we understand our brains, we're better able to name what we need, to ask for support, and to move forward with more compassion for ourselves. The benefits of learning about ourselves extends beyond our own bodies and brains. It also benefits our kids, our relationships with them, and our relationships with friends and our family. All this learning that we did together on the show ended up being really personal for me too. Through conversations on this podcast, especially around ADHD and memory, I began to reflect more deeply on my own life experiences, and talking with guests like Dr. Sherry All, Dr. Allison Roy, and hearing people like children's author Bob Shea speak so openly about their ADHD challenges, and researching ADHD for the episode All About It, it helped me see myself more clearly. Those moments didn't just inform my work as a podcast host and an EF coach. They fundamentally changed how I understand my own brain, and I am so grateful for it. I've also learned just how powerful this work can be when it's done together. Some of my favorite episodes were the Q&A conversations with my fellow Beyond Booksmart coaches, the webinar replays, and the conversations I got to have with other executive function coaches. These people reminded me again and again that this field is filled with thoughtful, curious, deeply human people, and that none of us does this work alone. And you don't have to do it alone either. As we've learned, there are so many people out there who want to help others. And also, there are so many people out there who are struggling. So you're not alone, that's for sure. More than anything, I want you to remember this. You can improve your executive function skills. We have learned this and heard it loud and clear over the past 4 years of Focus Forward. It's not easy, but you have more power than you might think to change how things feel in your day-to-day life. And I'll always come back to self-regulation. It really is the foundation. When we support our nervous systems, we give ourselves a better chance to plan, organize, remember, follow through, and adapt. If you're struggling, it's likely something that can partly be addressed with self-regulation strategies. I truly hope that Focus Forward has helped you feel less alone, more informed, and more willing to ask for help when you need it. Learning about yourself, it's not a weakness. It's one of the first steps toward meaningful change. Okay, and now to introduce my last guest on Focus Forward, Sean Potts. Sean has worked in the marketing department of Beyond Booksmart since 2020. He was a coaching client of Beyond Booksmart CEO and founder, Michael Dowman. He's got ADHD, which helps make him an incredibly thoughtful, creative, and enthusiastic colleague. Working with him has been nothing but an absolute pleasure, and I'm so happy to have him on the show today. Hey, Sean. Thanks for coming on Focus Forward.
But hey, Hannah, thank you for having me on. It's crazy to be on like the other end of hearing you say that after so many times of hearing you say it to guests while I'm editing.
Good. Well, I'm so glad you're here. So we are going to talk about how the sausage is made. No, the podcast is not sausage. The podcast is nice and clean and good for you. It's
Totally.
not
As a
creepy.
vegetarian, I agree.
That's right. I am a leaning vegetarian, so I also agree. All right, so as my producer and editor that I always thank at the very end of the podcast and thank in person all the time, but the listeners don't ever hear that. I wanted to have you on so we could, just share a little bit about, or so you could share a little bit about your experience behind the scenes, what you've learned over the past 4 years in doing this together, what you've learned about yourself, what you've learned about podcasting, and just sort of the executive functioning behind all of that. So, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about this whole experience?
Just how well it all worked. Like, I think when we started making it, the idea was to create sort of an additional resource for clients that would sort of help them, like, in coaching. And very quickly, we realized that the listener base was sort of outside of our client base. And that meant that we kind of had to figure out a way to do more episodes, to grow the podcast, to think through topics. And it was very quickly apparent that our strengths were super, like, well balanced, in the sense that, like, you're, like, being the actual person, like, leading it and hosting and doing the conversations, but also doing, like, the editing notes and figuring out sort of how to actually, like, condense it into an episode. Then I could be sort of put the marketing hat on and the editor hat on, and, like, how do I actually make this into a piece of content? And that worked so well. Like that, like, I couldn't have done the things that you were doing. You probably could
Ditto.
have done some of the things I was doing,
No, I wouldn't have done them.
but
I may be able to do them, but I wouldn't. One thing that I have often said to people is, without Sean, there would be probably one episode. I think I would have done one episode and then been like, yeah, no, that's not for me.
vice versa. Like, the second that anyone had would ask me to do editing notes, I think this whole thing would have fallen apart. Like, as somebody with ADHD, to sit through, like, an hour long, 2 hour long recording and have to, like, determine exactly where to cut. But you're always happy to do it. Like,
Yeah.
that was a big learning opportunity for me, just, like, how you can pair two people's strengths in a way that, like, sort of creates one whole. I think that was a huge lesson, just in terms of the actual making of the podcast. But I would also say, realizing over time how many people were actually listening, and then having that experience when we were at the ADHD conference of people knowing you, like, people
Yeah.
coming up to you and actually, like, oh, this work that we're doing and these numbers I'm seeing on a screen are actual people.
Yeah, they're real people.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it's amazing because I already knew how great you are, and, not only as a coach but as a human being. So having that sort of start to materialize with more and more people listening, it just made me feel really good knowing how many people got to experience you and knowing that you were helping them. And so that was really, like, fulfilling and sustaining, and made it so fun to just keep figuring out how to continue making episodes. So those would be the two things. One's, like, functional, and one's more just on a personal level.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I agree. I just want to go back a little bit to what you were saying about how you learned, or we learned, how you can take two people's strengths and put them together, and it's like that saying, like, the sum is greater than the parts. And also how much metacognition is required for that, because you need to be able to identify what you're good at and also identify what you're not good at, and then make sure you have the person who happens to be you for me and me for you that can kind of pick up in that area that you struggle in. And it did. It just, like, turned into this, like, super well-oiled machine where we've talked a lot about how we narrowed down the just even just the amount of time that it took us in the
Oh,
very beginning.
100%.
Yeah. And
Yeah, I
it's
know.
like, yeah.
Our first run of episodes, like, I would probably say through the first maybe 20, it was a good, like, combined effort of, like, 10 hours probably,
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
sometimes more, especially when we had, like, music and sound bites and
Yeah, the more complicated episodes.
totally, but we cut that like easily in half by the later run just because we just had a system down.
Something else that just is such good evidence that the more you do something, the better you get at it, and the easier you get, the easier it becomes to you. And so it's worth, like, they say, embrace the suck. Have you ever heard this before? Like, embrace the suck. Like,
Totally.
embrace the part that's hard, because when you push through it, then you get to a place where you're like, oh, okay, this is easy, and I, or it's easier, and so then it feels more comfortable. Oh, shoot, what was the other thing I was gonna say?
Well, this is the benefit of editing notes.
Oh yes, that was it. So yes, so editing notes, which you will hear in the blooper reel, much of the editing, I think it made sense for me to listen to it because I was the one that, I mean, it made sense for me to do the edits because I was the one that was listening, doing the interview, having the conversation, or recording the separate, like, for the solo episodes. So I was more familiar with it. But also, over one thing that I noticed about myself over time is I used to give you way more editing notes than I ended up at the end. And a lot of that came from me feeling more confident about just being me, and then also just getting better at knowing what I should keep and what I should cut. And yeah, so I don't know, it's kind of like cool to see over time how that shifted and
Totally.
how.
It was very transparent and clear from my perspective that that was happening just from listening to the episodes and editing them. Like you just got so good at the hosting part, like just guiding the conversations, keeping them going, and embracing those sort of parts of the conversations that weren't perfect or really like what you maybe planned going into it. That's why sometimes when you'd give me editing notes, I would like get to the section and I would listen and I would go rogue. I'd be like, no, this was really funny. This was like a really like a good, genuine dialogue or like, and so yeah. And I think that also, because then I know you would listen to every episode. So then you would catch that part and you'd be like, oh, he didn't cut out the thing that I
And
mentioned.
I would have to admit that you were right. It was the right call.
Totally.
I also remember many times calling you after we dropped it and then being like, oh my God, like, I don't know about this. I feel really, I'm not feeling confident about this. Like, should we take this part out even though we already did it? And you were just so good at, like, talking me off the ledge. Like, it's all gonna be fine.
Totally. And I think embracing the imperfect is kind of the new thing with the podcast space. And I don't like the word influencer, but like for lack of a better word, like influencer space online at this point, authenticity, which I also don't like that word either, but you know what I mean? It's like that nobody wants like the perfect polished cut. If we did, we'd just be creating an AI podcast and you know, like that's gonna nail every word and say everything perfectly, but that's not why people love you. That's not why people, when we would be out in public, would be coming up to you and being like, "Hannah Choi." It's because of all of the human elements that you obviously bring to the table. So yeah, glad we both learned to embrace imperfections. But to me, I didn't see a lot of imperfections personally.
Oh,
So.
thank you. Yes, I have to be very, I am just very grateful to you for your faith in me over the years. And so many times you would say, like, like if I was doubting myself, you were very good at reminding me that no, you actually do know what you're doing, Hannah. So
100%.
I know. It's
Yeah.
a very vulnerable position to put yourself in, to, especially where you don't really get a lot of, you don't get any real-time feedback, and then you often don't even get much feedback at all. Most listeners are pretty passive listeners. They just they just listen. And I have had over the years, a number of people reach out and connect with me over something from the podcast, which has been wonderful. But for the most part, you don't get that. And so it's so easy to get stuck in your head and to just have that self-critic be the loudest voice. And so I'm very grateful to you for like speaking louder than the self-critic.
Oh, I'm so glad, because yeah, I don't really know any big Hannah Choi critics personally, and I've worked with you a long time,
Me, I am.
yeah, I was
I
gonna
am
say,
my biggest.
so it's very easy to be a Hannah Choi fan,
Ah, thank you.
and a cheerleader. So it was my pleasure, and I will
Ah.
long after the podcast, long after Focus Forward isn't running, I will still be the Hannah super fan and the
Ah.
cheerleader.
Thank you. So, what else is there anything that you learned about yourself, this kind of thing through that? I mean, I know you talked a little bit about that, just sort of like the process and figuring that out, but is there anything else you learned about yourself?
I think particularly our explorations of ADHD throughout the podcast, and I know you also can relate to this, even in a more like tangible way, made me better understand how my brain works and a lot of the challenges that I've had my entire life. Like in a it allowed me to see those challenges and see my brain in a new light that allowed me to sort of embrace those quirks and idiosyncrasies, because I could understand not only where they were coming from, but how normal they are, and that there were like real solutions for them. And yeah, I would particularly like learning more about some of the reward circuit parts of ADHD and the way that dopamine and like gratification works differently when you have ADHD. That was just like such a revelation. That kind of fueled my approach to doing podcast episodes, because I realized if I could get that much insight out of us talking about these things, that other people would get just, and I'm in the executive function world, so I'm like, we talk about this all the time. And if I'm able to get that for people who have never even been exposed to executive function or really like dug a little deeper on what's going on with ADHD, I knew that they would get just as much, if not more, from what we were doing. So that was, it was personally meaningful, but I also knew it was going to help a lot of people. And it also made it fun to choose topics, because it was like, okay, I know for me personally, like ADHD is going to be something that resonates with me. But what are some topics that maybe I'm not thinking about, but are going to be super meaningful to other people, like dyslexia, like parenting? Like, I mean, there's so many that we covered. Those are like just two of, I mean, were there any topics that for you didn't necessarily have a personal relationship with, but you ended up feeling like you learned a lot by covering those episodes?
Yeah, definitely. I think the one that stands out the most for me is learning about OCD. I didn't know anything about OCD, and I don't have anyone, in close in my life that has OCD or that knows they have OCD. And so that was super fascinating to me. I got to talk with two people about OCD, Kimberly Leonte Glazier and Dr. Anthony Bram. Kimberly is also a doctor. And I just learned so much from them. And it's such a fascinating brain-based condition that impacts so many more people than even the people with OCD realize. And so that was super fascinating. And it also did a little bit have some personal connection with me, because one of my clients has OCD, and they had just had such like a great growth experience learning about their own OCD and everything. So that was really interesting. I also really loved talking with people with different backgrounds and learning about whatever they were interested in or whatever their specialty area was. How everything really does connect back to executive function skills, and how everyone, regardless of their background, can really contribute something to the conversation. And so sometimes people would reach out to me to be on the podcast, and they would ask, "Well, what do you want to talk about?" And I often would say, "Well, whatever you want to talk about, because everything can be tied back to executive functioning."
And that was one of your superpowers. Like, you did find a way, no matter what the topic was, to bring it home.
Was it a little annoying? Because I felt like I was
No,
always like, that
no.
requires this skill.
No, because we always say that the executive function skills aren't just school or work skills, they're life skills. And all of these categories that we're talking about, all these topics, are part of life. So if we really do believe that these are executive function skills or life management skills, then that's going to apply to mental health. It's going to apply to OCD. It's going to apply to therapy and,
Everything.
it's all
Public
of these,
speaking, all the stuff.
all the topics that we covered. That's the other challenge for me now. Because it's been 4 years of doing the podcast at this point, almost to the month, with this being the 80th episode. Sometimes I'm like, what did I know all the topics that we've done because I published them, I've edited them. I probably like every single one, you and I hands-on would be choosing topics and it's still hard for me to remember everything we
Oh, I
covered.
know. I was
Like, it's so
scrolling
hard.
through the beyondbooksmart.com/podcast website page, and I was just scrolling through, and I was just like, whoa, like this is a lot. 80 episodes, like 80 sounds like a lot, but when I scroll through it, 80 is a lot.
Yeah. No, especially when you add it into like time amounts too, it's like 2 or 3 days worth of just listening.
Something that we worked really hard on was making sure that every episode was evergreen. And for anyone who doesn't know what that means, is like that it all can be used hopefully forever, and not like specific to one time of year. So, for example, when I had Kendra Adachi on, who is very well known for her Lazy Genius podcast and content, we originally were going to talk about the holidays, because me personally, I find the winter holidays super, super stressful. And Kendra's materials have helped me in my personal life. And so when I had her on, I was thinking, oh, we'd talk about the holidays. But I remember you said, like, you are always guiding us towards making sure everything was evergreen. And so then we talked less specifically about the holidays and more just about like planning big things. And I loved getting that guidance from you there, because you are a marketer and you think like a marketer. Like, I am much more just sort of like present, like, okay, what's happening now? But I love that you thought that way, because now the content that's out there is still very applicable, even though time has passed, and even though, it's not the holidays, you can still listen to Kendra Adachi and learn from her. So
100%. Yeah, and it's a balance because you can make because you also don't want the episodes to feel irrelevant or not timely. So trying to find that balance between like it's a topic that matters now and will
now.
matter in the future, and like you can give context obviously with what's going on in that given moment, but like you mentioned, like you could come back to it 3, 4, 5, maybe even 10 plus years later and still find value in what's in there. Of course, science and psychology is always changing, so especially as far as experts go, there's going to be new information. I wish the information in the episodes would be relevant 100 years from now, but that's part of also what made doing the podcast so fun is that like executive function is such an emerging field. Same with mental health, same with ADHD, same with OCD, all of these topics that we covered. So being kind of part of that awakening where people are starting to sort of like understand what's going on at a deeper level and not just seeing the surface of this person's lazy or this person's high strung or like they're that understanding that and embracing sort of everything that's going on beneath the surface. I'd love that we were part of that because I do see it more now. Like
Oh,
especially
yeah.
people talk about executive function at a level that I never saw when I first joined Beyond Booksmart in 2020. Like
Oh, yeah, totally.
especially executive dysfunction that like you see it everywhere now. At least I do. Maybe it's just because we're like our algorithms, but I do find it comes up more often, and I do see it in like my personal life. Like people just mention things, and the casual dropping of executive dysfunction has been a funny, like in very normal social contexts, that like weddings or like seeing family. When we're not even talking, I'm not talking about like Beyond Booksmart or my job or
Just comes
anything.
up.
Yeah, so that is cool.
That's something I've really seen over. I mean, I've been with Beyond Booksmart since 2017 as a coach, and I've really seen that change over the years where people didn't know what executive functioning was in 2017, and now way more people know. And the other thing is, I remember in the beginning, when part of like my personal goals for the podcast was to help reduce stigma in conversations around, or, around all these different topics. And I think that that's something that even I have seen in myself over the years, is I've become a lot more comfortable talking about difficult stuff. And I really hope, I know there's no way to measure it, but I do really, really hope that there are people out there right now saying, I am now able to talk about this thing more easily because of Focus Forward, because that really was a goal of ours and why we did, bring on topics that are hard to talk about. I mean, like grief. Grief stands out for one, for me, a big one. Like, people have a hard time talking about grief. And so the fact that we, brought that on and talked about it in a way that ties it back to executive function skills, ties it back to something very tangible, very shared experience. Even if you haven't necessarily experienced grief, you have experienced some kind of loss, and also the experience of your executive function skills being impacted by something. So I really hope for that, and I know there's no way to measure it, but so we just like hope that it's out there doing its job.
I know it is because no matter what the topic was, you always approached it with so much curiosity. And I feel like that kind of curiosity, especially about things you don't understand or challenges or things we don't like about ourselves, curiosity is sort of that door like that
It
you kick down.
is.
And I shouldn't say kick down. It's curiosity is the door that allows you to open and be like, okay, what's going on here? And even that alone, I mean, I think especially for the topics that maybe I don't personally relate to as much. It's still the curiosity element allowed me to get insight into those topics in a way that allowed me to then have more empathy and understanding for people who do struggle with those. One example, like my partner, as who you've met, Rachel, has like a learning pro not learning an auditory processing disorder that I didn't really like understand or know about until recently. And immediately upon, like, there was so much context in our relationship that made me understand why those things were happening and immediately want to, like, learn more about auditory processing, dig into, like, strategies for it. I just feel like it's conditioning from Focus Forward. Like, I immediately was like, oh, how can I accommodate that? Like, what have I been missing? Especially as a fast talking person with ADHD who tends to send a lot, say a lot, and a partner who can sometimes struggle with auditory processing, that explained a lot of our relationship. So, like, because we 99.9% of the time love being around each other, but that 0.1% is always because of that. So, just because of you, because of Focus Forward, like, my immediate instinct is curiosity.
That's
And I
great.
think I'm hoping listeners end up having that kind of experience after, even if it's just from one episode. And I would want that to be the thing people take away from Focus Forward is if you don't understand something about yourself or somebody else, curiosity is the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's resources and people out there that are super, that want to help and want to, talk about it. And I love that. I also have a partner with auditory processing, and I'm a fast talker with ADHD. So, yep, I get it.
It's especially Not taking it personally when
Mm.
they just need that time to be able to like quiet internal,
Yes.
whereas you and I are like verbal processors,
Yes.
so it's like if I don't talk about something long enough, I'm like mentally about to explode, and I'm like all confused and struggling, and it only makes sense when you for me per
Yes.
when you actually are able to process it verbally, so.
Yep. That actually reminds me of one thing that I did end up getting better at over the years was processing my words out loud as I was trying to figure out what I wanted to say, because so often I would stumble upon my words and have trouble getting the plane off the ground. And so lots of those edits that were in the beginning were more about me just trying to get my words out. And I did notice, like, over the years, I got better at that, which is good.
That was also one of my favorite parts of working with you on Focus Forward, because of the fact that we're both verbal processors in that way. Like, we had the best brainstorming sessions, like
Yes,
the best. And
yes,
sometimes when other people aren't verbal processors and they need things to be clear, neat, and straight to the point, like they have a hard time with that. I've
yeah,
had
it's
that with
harder to
other
go
people.
along for that ride.
Totally, of just like, let's just talk it out. It's okay if something I just said doesn't make sense. Let's figure out what does make sense and do that together. And that's okay if we're you one of us has an idea the other doesn't like that much, or like if there is sort of disagreements about something, it's again that curiosity would just kick in and we just kind of hash it out and figure, and there's no ego. It's just was it was always fun,
So fun.
which is probably a good way to transition into talking about titles.
I
I know you
was
had a
just
question.
gonna say that. Titles. So Sean and I would meet, or we would meet every Tuesday in the afternoon. And or actually no, it was always like right in the middle of the day. I felt like I was like always finishing up my lunch. But yeah, so titles. It's like one of my favorite things. Who knew? Coming up with titles would be so fun.
It also, I think, got really fun the last 2 years because it became like a human versus machine thing over time. Because for some reason, AI like likes to think it's a title expert, but oftentimes when we would just start with the titles, that AI would generate ChatGPT or whatever, I would read them and I'd be like, meh. And then we ended up just kind of handcrafting them. And I would be lying if I said sometimes AI didn't come up with something that we ended up using. But there were a lot of times that we just molded something ourselves, and like I wish we kept like a scorecard or something.
I was just I'm just scrolling right now because I want to share my favorite title. I gotta find it. Well, one of them I remember was the conversation with Nerissa Bauer on self-regulation, and we came up with it starts with us, it starts with us, self-regulation, for something like that. And that came from something that Nerissa said. I think she said it actually starts with us. But for some reason, that was like one of my favorite. And then the other one that I'm trying to find is the music one. Oh no, it wasn't.
Was it your mind on music?
Yeah, but yes, Your Mind on Music. Oh, and we did not come up with that together. We had something else. So the full title is Your Mind on Music, The Power of Learning It. The Power of Music and Learning, Life and Love. And that was my conversation with Sarah Sherman and Mort Sherman. And that's episode 67, if anyone's interested. But I remember we left the podcast meeting with a different title. And then you published it later, like the next day. And I saw that and I was just like, oh my God, this is so brilliant. It was so
I went
perfect.
rogue. That was actually a rare one we did two
Oh.
together. There's maybe like three in the of the 79 to date where I like ended up changing it after we would meet to sort of like get a title. And honestly, I feel like all three times were when we would use AI and not be able to beat it, and so we end up settling for something because we're like, this will do. And then I would just right after I would edit and listen to the whole episode and be publishing, I'd be like. I get that was also helpful for me too, because I'd get a better understanding of the topic and what was talked about. And then those kind of like titles would just come in like a minute. It happens so quickly. You don't have to think about it because
Yeah, and Justice is no longer, Justice had a baby and no longer works at Beyond Booksmart, but I remember when she was on the team, she also would be very helpful. Like if you and I were like kind of hemming and hawing and trying to decide, she'd be like, "Guys." And then she'd
Yeah,
say
she was our
like, "This is it." And we're like, "Oh yeah, you're right. This is it."
our voice of reason of just like,
Yes.
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Which
Yep.
also, I think that's a good transition into how we got to the title of the
Title, the
podcast.
podcast title, yes.
We're just going through the who's who's of Beyond Booksmart Hall
Yeah.
of Fame. Like,
Yeah.
because talk about cutting through the noise, the title of Focus Forward. Do you want to tell that story?
So we were in one of our very early meetings, and I remember we had a very long list of possible titles,
So
and you
long.
so long, and you and I think it was just you and I, or maybe it was
Also,
some
Mimi
and
Fernandez,
Mimi
who's
Fernandez, right? So it was the three of us, and Jackie Hebert, who was working for the company at the time, but wasn't in this conversation. She hadn't shown up to the meeting yet. We were just talking. We were going through all of them. We were trying them all out. We couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure it out. And then Jackie popped into the meeting, and she was like, "Guys, there's only one title you should be going with: Focus Forward." And we were like,
and it was
"Yep,
on our and it was
it
on our
was. It was on
list.
the list." And we were just like, "Yep, you're right."
I always say this as a for anyone who is in a field that requires titles or branding or like if you can get something, choose something as a name, or I guess if it was a logo as a look or branding, but if you can like pick something and then after never question it again for years,
Yeah.
you have nailed it.
Yes.
Like,
Totally. Yeah.
like if once it just becomes like, oh yeah, it's Focus Forward.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
it's honestly I feel that way about Beyond Booksmart as a
Oh yeah,
name
it's a good
too.
name.
Like
Yeah.
I've
Yeah.
never once been like, oh, I don't know about like,
Yeah. Yeah.
and once it becomes just a neutral default that you're just like, cool, yeah, you kind of nailed it. So
Yep.
I've always loved Focus Forward.
Yeah, I know. I'll never forget that moment. She just like popped
Yeah.
right into the meeting. I don't even think she said hi. She was just like, "Guys, there's only
Totally.
one title you should be considering."
Yep. Shout out to
Yeah, shout out
Jackie
to
Hebert.
Jackie.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yep. Her legacy lives on.
the we always one of my favorite ways of thinking about how to spend time is like 80-20, what's gonna be 20% of your time, 80% of the reward. In her case, it was like 1% of time and like 99% of the
Yes.
reward because she jumped in for 5 minutes.
Yes. Yeah, that was so great. Oh, it was so fun. All right. Well, anything else that's on your mind about this beautiful adventure we've been on together?
You mean the beautiful adventure that's totally not ending?
Yeah.
I'm gonna be in denial and like until probably forever. I feel like,
It's a big change.
yeah, but I mean the future of the podcast lives on in the fact that we have so many episodes. It might live on in some other form. We don't know at this point, but if it does, I as long as I am at Beyond Booksmart, I will be protecting the entire vibe and ethos and everything that we've talked about, like just continuing that onwards. I can't promise that that will be the case, but 80 episodes, there's a lot there. I feel like we really did cover almost, I mean, can't cover everything, but we covered a
No, we
lot.
covered
We
a
got
lot.
pretty
We sure did.
pretty close.
What you were saying before, though, I'm like, oh, dang it. We should have covered auditory processing.
I know, actually, you know, you're
Would
right,
have been
actually.
really interesting.
So one more.
Oh,
That
you never know. Maybe one day.
one actually would have been harder to bring back to executive function, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially for if you're the person with auditory processing. It's more like executive function for us.
For the non,
Past,
yes,
yeah.
it would actually be a self-regulation episode.
Totally. Yeah, it would have to be self-regulation in the context of anyone who's like whose partner or family member or
Yes.
friend has auditory processing and you are a talker, like an
Yes.
extrovert. Yeah,
Yes.
that would be the executive function angle. So, and
Yep.
I think we've covered self-reg, we've covered the things you would need to navigate that. So
Yeah, that's true. You just have to like listen to a bunch of different things, stick it all together, and then you're good to
yeah.
go. Well, thank you for everything, Sean. You are just just one of my favorite people, and I will, for the rest of my life, be eternally grateful for this experience and this even just this conversation right now, kind of tying it all up. So thank you for everything.
I feel the same way. You are Hannah Choi. You are one of one.
Thank you. All right, listeners. So keep listening for that blooper reel. Here's a little mini blooper reel for you with some stuff that Sean had to edit out over the years. I would often struggle to get through welcoming my guest onto the show. Here's a lovely intro from the last episode about dyslexia and EF skills with Jeff Ruggiero and Ben Powers from the Southport School. Hello. Thank you so much for joining me on Focus Forward. I have not covered this topic yet on Focus Forward. Do you hear that?
Whoa.
How
I
it
did,
like
yeah.
vibrates throughout the whole thing? I kicked it.
Oh, that, wow.
All right, let's start over. Actually, damn it. Let's go again. There was also this gem from when I interviewed Sarah and Mort Sherman about music and EF skills. All right, so Sarah and Mort Sherman, thanks so much for joining me on Focus Forward.
Thank you for having us.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you
Yeah,
for having us.
yeah. So will you, I usually introduce, never mind, gonna delete that out. Will you guys introduce yourselves? And Sean and I couldn't even get through it when we recorded for this episode. Hey, Sean, thanks for coming on Focus Forward.
I don't think we're recording.
We aren't? I think we are. Yeah,
Are
we are.
we? Wait, we are?
Yeah,
We're
it says
not.
it says recording on my side.
Oh, crap. Okay. All right, let's redo that.
All right. You know we're
Hey.
keeping that, by the way.
Oh, man.
One of the most common edits Sean has had to do is delete me figuring out how to say what I want to say or even remember what I wanted to say. It is hard. It's hard. It requires, but I'm not really sure where I'm going with that. That's a thing.
Yeah, it is. What was I gonna say? I can't remember. This is the one problem with me being a podcast host is that I like have to like I need to remember to write down. Okay. Oh, I just thought of it.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen over the past 4 years. I don't really know what to say other than thank you. There aren't really words that express the feelings I have about this experience. Just know that I'm grateful for every one of you, even though I don't even know who most of you are. I also want to thank the staff and leadership at Beyond Booksmart for supporting me over the years. I've forged friendships that will last a lifetime. It's true. I'd love to stay in touch, so feel free to reach out to me via email, which is hchoy@beyondbooksmart.com. I'm still keeping my Beyond Booksmart email while I coach for them still. You can find me on LinkedIn and Instagram. My new widow baby Instagram account is hannahchoy.ef. I'm also going to and leading a workshop at the NeuroDiversion 26 ADHD Conference in Austin at the end of March. So come find me there. It's going to be a blast. For the last time, as always, this podcast is just one stop on your journey and is not a substitute for educational, medical, or mental health advice. If you're concerned about anything we've ever talked about on Focus Forward over the years, I encourage you to reach out to a qualified professional for additional support. And thank you, as always, for helping us spread the word about executive function skills. Your shares, reviews, and conversations really do matter. The archives of Focus Forward will be available on Beyond Booksmart website and any podcast platform. Thanks for listening.